So Dr. KK ended up being buried at the Embassy Park. How come it's difficult to apply the same reasoning? This is hypocrisy of the highest order.
Well, Zwangendawa says, good morning. If Mr. Lungu was murdered, then who did murder him? Because we are told that he died in a South African hospital. So now the South African government is now directly involved. Now we'll see what happens. Just put that into context, by the way. So if you're making reference to people who had, I think, like, had some placards and made that report, it's not the South African government. It was a group of individuals in South Africa. What was their name again? Something progressive, progressive movement or yes. something like that.
Yes. So they're called. Progressive Forces of South Africa.
Yeah. So it's not exactly the South African government, but just a movement from over there. But we'll leave it here. Oh, GS also says, I used to believe elders in life are the best agents of resolution for the dignity and legacy of the former president ECL. Let the family just adhere to what the government is saying. The seven people are tired of these dialogues. Zimba says the ECL family is just being disrespected. On the other hand, they are punishing the body of their loved one from Mr. Z. All right, we'll leave it here for now so that we can get into the news at 8. Thank you for your messages, your calls, your contributions generally. And it seems that this conversation is not yet done, unfortunately.
No.
We are still going to have this conversation again
at some point in the before the year ends.
But we hope it is going to be for happier news. And like someone said, this Saturday is day of national prayer, fasting, reconciliation, repentance. I don't know if I've missed anything from the actual title, but this was a day that was declared by former President Edgar Lungu, and like one of the callers said, people have got a lot of expectations as to how some of these issues will be handled in terms of reconciliation and so on. Hopefully, maybe Saturday, something
positive
miraculously will happen. Let's keep our fingers crossed and hope for the best. For now, we get into the main news bulletin at 8. The time is 8:02.
This time check was brought to you by Stanbic Bank.
There we go.
106.7. Bonze. The main news bulletin on Phoenix FM is brought to you by Absa Bank Zambia PLC. Your story matters. Absa.
Win Mama Muli 1 million na Absa. Play your cards right, Muntuandi, and you could win big. Simply tap or swipe any of your Absa cards 5 times in a month, and you could be one of 10 lucky winners to take home and achieve 10 fin in monthly prizes, or walk away with a grand prize of 250,000 kwacha. Jaliro ku, and you cannot afford to not get lucky. Use your Absa card to enter the draw. Terms and conditions apply. Your story matters.
Good morning. The headlines. Israeli envoy downplays critics of renewed Zambia-Israel relations due to impending economic and technical gains. Lawyer warns President Dilma's recent remarks risk creating perception of judicial interference. And in global news, Hamas returns remains of 2 more hostages, but says more time needed to reach others. With the 8 hours main news bulletin on Phoenix, I am Paddy Mugando. Israel's ambassador to Zambia, Ofra Fari, has downplayed criticism of the reopening of the Israeli embassy in Lusaka, saying those opposed to the move represent a small minority and that renewed diplomatic ties will yield tangible benefits for both countries. In an interview with Phoenix News, Ms. Fari says the revitalized relationship presents opportunities for economic cooperation, knowledge transfer, and technical assistance in key sectors such as health and energy, which could help address some of Zambia's pressing challenges. She has urged stakeholders to adopt a forward-looking approach, noting that many nations maintain diplomatic links even amid regional tensions, highlighting tourism and religious pilgrimage as important avenues for strengthening people-to-people and commercial exchanges. The ambassador has further stated that the existing ceasefire in the Middle East provides a space for deeper engagement and multilateral collaboration, further encouraging Zambian institutions and the private sector to pursue practical, mutually beneficial projects within the renewed diplomatic framework. Ms. Fari has expressed optimism that, drawing from Israel's resilience during the two-year Gaza conflict, Zambia and Israel can collaborate on economically viable ventures and climate resilience initiatives suited to Zambia's unpredictable weather patterns.
I think that this is a minority here. I don't understand why they're opposing it. Zambia has an embassy in Israel from 2015. And for our point of view, we're just, you know, relocating now our embassies around. We have very strong relations. There is no reason why not to have an embassy here. There's only advantages for Zambia and for Israel in this renewal of the embassy here. So I would suggest people just to look to the future, to see the benefit come out of it. So I think, Zambia, you're really far away from the Middle East issues, and you have your own challenges of the weather, you had your the cholera, and things like that. But we have to, all of us, need to learn to be resilient and move forward.
Lawyer James Mataliro has cautioned that President Hakainde Hichilema's recent remarks about his involvement in investigating former Foreign Affairs Minister Joe Malanje could create public perceptions of political interference in Zambia's judiciary. On the 4th of September 2025, the Lusaka Magistrates Court convicted and sentenced former Secretary to the Treasury Fritz Onyamba to 3 years imprisonment with hard labor, while former Foreign Affairs Minister Joe Malanje received a 4-year sentence on 7 corruption-related charges. 5 days later, President Hakainde Hichilema publicly declared an active role in the matter. In an interview with Phoenix News, Mr. Mataliro says while judicial independence is not determined by political statements, public confidence in the justice system can be undermined when high-profile figures appear to comment on active investigations or claim a role in securing evidence and witnesses. He notes that such perceptions are particularly damaging when cases are still before the courts, as they are difficult to dispel once established, despite courts making decisions based on facts and law. He has further warned that political commentary on ongoing cases risks shaping public expectations about verdicts and undermining the appearance of judicial impartiality.
When matters are in court, it doesn't work well for people to express their personal preference of the outcome of the matter. But what is important is whether matters are being determined based on facts and the law, irrespective of what, whether politician or otherwise, are commenting on the matter. But definitely, it gives a wrong perception, more or less like you are suggesting, that perhaps the outcome of these matters are politically motivated or are an act of judicial interference by the politician. But obviously, matters must be decided on facts and law, irrespective of who it is, whether it is a person that worked in the previous government or not, or whether the president has a certain preference of the outcome of a particular matter.
The Advocates for Democratic Governance has urged the Electoral Commission of Zambia, ECZ, to remain open to extending the ongoing mass voter registration exercise if it fails to meet its target of over 3.5 million. The Commission recently stated that it would not extend the registration period despite calls from various stakeholders to allow more time for eligible voters to register. In an interview with Phoenix News, Organization Executive Director Gideon Musonda says the Commission should show flexibility and engage with stakeholders rather than dismissing their recommendations. Mr. Musonda has emphasized that an extension would be prudent, noting that preparations for the exercise were not fully complete, citing reports that some registration centers were unable to commence operations on the scheduled start date. He adds that allowing more time would help ensure a more inclusive and credible registration process and would strengthen public confidence in the electoral system.
Our call is that it should remain open to stakeholders' recommendations, yeah, so that together the agenda, you know, can be pushed for purposes of meeting the set targets. So coming out outright that there will be no extension, I think that's not good. I think it's important that they are inclusive and also accept stakeholders' recommendations for the purposes of, you know, success of this process.
The Foundation for Democratic Process, FODEP, has expressed concern over the feasibility of completing constitutional reforms ahead of the 2026 general elections, citing limited time for an effective review. President Haga